10 years ago, the term website performance optimization didn't really exist. In fact, everything was so slow, the internet itself was so slow that I really can't remember how we used to cope with that. Like Yahoo loading for 1 minute, or Google wasn't like what it is now. But I think like right now that is not anymore. Website performance optimization is everything. Hi, I'm Tenko, and the Dreadcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Dread.
For the Dreadcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dreadcast starts now.
That is right. We are back with episode 61 of the Dreadcast, and this is a special edition of the Dreadcast. This is a Drad World, so we're actually recording this a little bit earlier in the day than we normally do, and for good reason. We have a really exciting guest on, and we'll get to him in just a minute. But Dre, man, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm living the dream, and in fact, I just got a t-shirt. I'm going to wear it next Wednesday. It says, living the dream. Now, it could be better, although I'll tell you what, it's a little bit different. We're doing this on a Thursday. It's the first time we've done that. So another Dreadcast first, and for good reason. We didn't want to push schedule. We had some conflicts, and our host is going to be amazing. How's your week been? Everything gravy? Anything awesome we need to talk about?
It's been a very complaint about you, right? We're on a different night on a Thursday. Anytime we do a Dreadworld episode, it's 3 p.m. my time. Dre, it's lunch for him, 12, so we were talking earlier before the show. It's a little bit interesting going from like the work mode and flipping over to podcast mode like in the middle of the day. But we enjoy doing it, and that's so we can get some amazing guests on that are not in the U.S., not on our time. And that's exactly who we have on today. So hailing all the way from Sofia, Bulgaria, we have the CEO of SiteGround on today's show, Mr. Tenko Nikolov. Tenko, how's it going, man?
Hey, Brad. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very excited to have you on the show. We love talking. We love having people from all over the world on the show, and especially those community members that are really driving what we're doing. And with you and your experience from SiteGround and hosting, I'm excited to talk. I know Dre is as well. So before we get into that, we got a lot to talk about. But first, I want to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
So as much as I probably could use a drink in the middle of the day, I am not quite drinking yet because I still have some work to do. So I'm sipping on the glorious H2O, a little bit of water.
Oh, man. Yeah. Take over. Right. Well, you want me to go? I'll tell you what. It's
day drinking over there?
No, you know, being I'm on with my boss, it's probably not a good look. I went ahead and forewent drinking anything of the alcoholic variety this early afternoon, meaning 4 after 12 p.m. here in California. So I had some really nasty high calorie and very cholesterol driven lunch. I'm drinking a Diet Coke to wash that down.
Which I kinda envy you for.
Yeah.
It is 10 p.m. here, and unfortunately, I'm drinking H2O, too.
Yeah, buddy.
But a wild and crazy show.
After we're over, that might change a bit.
It's about to go down. I mean, I think we're all going to be hammered by the end of the show. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. Hey, there's nothing wrong with hydrating, right? Sometimes you got to hydrate. And I think Tenko, and we'll get into this a little bit later in the show, but you're probably still recovering a bit from WordCamp Europe, based on what we were talking pre-show.
Recovering, I can tell you that. And a lot of people are looking
for it. We'll get into that. We're excited to hear about WordCamp Europe. I know you were there. Dre and I both unfortunately had to miss it this year, but we've only heard amazing things, so I'm excited to hear about your experience. But before we do that, we like to go into the host interview. And really learn a little bit where you're at. It's fun to kind of dive into the backstory of community members, especially people that a lot of our listeners and us have. We know you, and we know you kind of from afar, but we may not all know your story. And it's always fun to kind of dig into that. So let's kind of rewind and go way back into when you first got into, you know, got into the internet. When did you first really start dabbling online and realize that this might be an area where you want to focus your career on?
Oh, yeah, it's funny that you ask that. So the first thing that I did when I started going online, besides chatting, because I think chatting is what everybody does going online for the first time, but besides that, I was really fascinated by like Unix operating systems. So I installed Unix or Linux back in the day and started learning about that. And the first thing that I started doing afterwards was start to steal passwords from people and to crack servers and stuff like that. And the first commission job that I've had in my life was for hacking a server.
Oh, here we go. Now we're getting in the meat of it. So.
So I loved you before. I love you more, even more so now. That's
awesome. Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
It was awesome.
I was really into breaking into security of servers, and I basically am still doing this, but overseeing more than myself.
more on the fixing side than on the breaking side.
The breaking side was more fun.
I got to be honest. I feel like we've talked to a lot of people on the show about where they got started, and our paths and a lot of similarities in the stories.
For sure.
With kind of building, you know, we've talked a lot of developers building out sites, and it's funny, I feel like when people first get into computers, I know for me specifically, I was kind of similar to you in the sense of I like to try to see, like, the first computer to see what I could do, what I could get away with, what I could break, you know, just to really kind of understand what I was doing. And I think that maybe the natural progression from that is into doing, you know, some of those script hacks and, you know,
chat room hacks and flooding attacks there into getting into people's computers. So doing scan IP scans and hostname scans and opening people's CD-ROMs and stuff, right? Like it was
crazy stuff we were doing. With the CD-ROM, by the way.
I'm telling you, man, it was nuts.
That's how you get all the ladies in the day. You show them that trick, and they're forced to go out with you, right?
Like, hey, whatever you want, man, it's yours.
Oh, that's great. So it's cool to hear you were definitely geeking it up back in the day, starting to play with Unix, Linux. You know, how did that progress? So you're kind of, you know, getting into the hacker side, the black hat side of things, the dark side of the internet, you know, and at some point, you probably really not the smartest direction to be going if you want to have a lengthy and profitable career.
Fortunately for me, my father caught me. He understood what I was doing. And at 11th grade of high school, we had this talk where he explained stuff like a father to a son. And I probably at that time I've had enough in my brain to understand that what I was doing was wrong. And I decided to go the other road to start helping people with the knowledge that I've had, because I've had so much knowledge by the time. And I decided that I'll invest in myself to try to figure out a career path that would allow me to continue doing what I was doing, but at the same time, like, use my knowledge for good. And five years after, there was SiteGround. We started SiteGround, and as a matter of fact, I didn't start SiteGround, my partner did, and I started working in SiteGround as one of the first technical support guys.
Uh-huh.
So I used all of my knowledge to help automate things, and basically quickly came up to the chain of command and became the CEO of the company. And since then, the company has been going into a direction of constantly innovating stuff, constantly doing something new, constantly trying to achieve something that nobody else has done, and the majority of people have considered impossible by the time.
That's amazing. So, in 10 years ago, you were hired on as tech support, and now you're the CEO of that company.
Yeah, I've been the CEO for more than 9 years of those 10.
Oh, wow.
There's probably been a lot of things that you've seen there, from software to vulnerabilities to growth in terms of how do you scale a smaller hosting service into something large, which certainly today it's very different. SiteGround is very different, not just from a customer perspective, but branding and everything else, than it was probably 9-10 years ago. How do you get there? I mean, from a platform perspective, you guys are certainly doing a lot of stuff with WordPress, but other platforms now. beyond that as well. How did you get there? How do you get to where you're at today? Because it's amazing to see that change, that progression over 10 years.
So first of all, in terms of just performance, the performance that is now available to people freely to use wasn't there 10 years ago. Like, first of all, there weren't that many demanding websites at all. But even if they were there, there was like little a web host could do to help them. Like, redundancy wasn't what it used to be. And when we started, we thought that the most important thing to do is tech support. Like, we needed, obviously I come from a tech background and started working at support, so I thought tech support was the most important thing. So we started trying to be able to help all people that come to ask whatever they ask. We wanted to be able to help them. And the first name that SiteGround got was one of the hosts that actually cared about people's problems. And after a while, we figured out that we were getting so many sales because people liked our support that we were actually doing a lot of other stuff wrong. Company-wise, we didn't have correct management policies. We did a lot of stuff wrong, and one of the things that we realized on a later stage that we were doing wrong was that we were not communicating to people what we were doing for them. Like, we were not telling them that we do tech support, right? That we answer tickets on an average every 2 minutes. That we answer phone calls in like 7 seconds.
So the value proposition wasn't really fully established with your audience. You're growing at a rate more rapidly than maybe operationally or support-wise you can handle.
We couldn't really do it at that time because we obviously didn't know what we were doing. This was our first business for all of us, and at the same time we were growing so fast that it was easy to let go of some stuff. Mm-hmm. We were making money, we were having fun, and it was easy to let go. But fortunately, we didn't. Fortunately, we didn't stop there and just ask what are we doing wrong. So we at the whole time the SiteGround has existed, we tried to innovate, we tried to stay on top of stuff like security and performance and everything. But we didn't communicate that to our customers. We didn't say, hey, we're doing this, hey, we're doing that. We were just the regular host selling cheap web hosting for $2 a month. And two, three years ago, that changed. We just decided at some point that this needs to stop and we need to show the world that we're different, that we have core values, that our basic principle is that we're doing all of this for fun, and if it's not fun, it's not for us. And that if we're doing something right, and if we innovate, and if we show the industry how hosting should be done, then we have to show this to people. And we didn't do anything. Basically, we just started showing this, saying to people at events, doing like marketing materials, and it all came together somehow. Like, people right now, when I go to events, for example, people stop and ask me, hey, how do you do those beautiful designs of your brochures, or how do you do this and how do you do that? And it's easy. It's just passion.
But cart, you know, before the carriage, right? Like, so you guys have rebranded here in the last, what is it, about a year and a half now, maybe?
That's 2 years.
Yeah, it's about 2 years. And you certainly amplified your marketing initiatives probably over the last two years. It's when I first started meeting your team. I think the first discussions I had was right before WordCamp San Francisco 2012. You guys took a hiatus before that, though. I mean, it's exciting to see where you're at now, but through that whole process, it wasn't just so simple. It wasn't always perfect to get there. Like you were explaining, you guys ran into different stumbles as you were growing. This is the first kind of pass at owning and driving and growing a business. I think it's important for people to understand and to see that, even the big boys, because I see you as a big boy host, right? I see you really providing some really cool stuff to a lot of people. But you didn't start there. You started at a very small place. You started growing, and you ran through a lot of things that you needed to learn and fix to get to where you're at today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that we did as a team throughout the whole history of SiteGround is to never let a single problem repeat. So whenever something happened, we either fixed it or we automated stuff so that it never happens again, or put hooks that whenever it happens again, we understand and we fix it right after. And this has been the driving motivation behind a lot of the stuff that we do. So, for example, if somebody comes and complains, hey, my WordPress site is slow, we'll make sure that on a server level, everything is so finely tuned that nobody would ever come and say that exact same thing. Does that make any sense?
That makes wonderful sense. I think you're implementing controls to make sure that you don't deviate off of the growth that you're trying to accomplish. And if you run into stumbles, finding ways to ensure that you don't repeat those stumbles, right?
Yeah, and we come upon those stumbles every day. Like, people report them, and the only thing that a business owner has to do is to listen.
Listen and implement, right? I mean, you have to find a way to make sure you reduce the risk that happens again. What's that?
Act on it. Listen and act on it. Yeah. Be proactive. Don't let, like, just people tell you something sucks. Just next time you fix it and go to them and say, hey, you remember that sucked? How about you try it now?
And the follow-up. The follow-up is key. So you guys have grown tremendously. You certainly ran into stumbles, like we were saying. Talk through that a bit, because at one point your marketing was growing pretty well before the rebrand. You guys were bringing in and onboarding a lot of clients, but I think you got to a point where you figured out that maybe scaling was going to be a challenge unless you really rethought your processes, your operations. And then I think the rebrand came from that, certainly a big hiring cycle. And you guys seem to like just go from this steady growth into this just hockey stick because of that. Can you talk to a bit about how you've handled growth over the years beyond maybe some of those struggles that you had, but how did you scale it? What made you determine that maybe you weren't in a place where you needed to be to scale as efficiently as you are today?
This is a wonderful question, and it's been a hell of a ride to try to scale this thing. We're close to 170 people now. And from those 170, we've hired more than 80 for the past 10 months, so since January.
Yeah.
And we've basically doubled in size, both in terms of employees and clients, for the last 12 months. But to be honest with you, this was much, much easier than scaling, for example, from 20 to 50 employees.
So that's always a scary proposition, right? That I think that when you get to the 50 mark, I think you're heading from 20 to 50. That is like the pinnacle of, I think, the foundation of becoming a real strong and more mature company.
That's when you need to have all those policies in place and management practices and everything. And that's exactly the time that you don't have it.
Everything's Yeah.
Yeah, so going beyond the 100 number isn't that challenging. What gets challenging when you get that many employees is how to motivate everybody to be on the same track, how to motivate them to be as good as your, for example, first 20 employees. Because, you know, yeah, when you're small, you like, even I was able to talk to everybody on a daily basis.
Right.
Now I even don't know half of the names of the people, not because I don't want to, but because I they cannot remember that many names.
Well, it's not practical. I mean, you go from a stage where process implementation and standardization is the key to get you to that 50 and 100 mark. And then beyond that, cultural issues is really where you're starting to see more of those things. There's no way that the CEO is going to be able to sit there and talk to 200 people and know everybody. It's not realistic.
Yeah. Work done, right?
but one thing we still do is we still have an open door policy. So basically, anybody from the company could come and talk to me anytime. Like, if I'm free, if I'm not on a meeting, everybody can come talk to me and come talk to Ivo, who is the founder of SiteGround. And we still do that. We still try to hear what people's problems are and try to solve them if that's possible at all. And that's the same philosophy we try to apply to our clients as well. Like, we try to hear what their trouble is and try to help them. And that gets especially difficult with like 80 new people, because you know, they're new, and they do stuff wrong, and that's just normal cycle of life. Like in 6 months or in 12 months, they will be like robots. They will know every single answer, and they will do no stupid mistakes. But right now they do, and That's okay. Like that's how things go, and fortunately our clients understand that, because whenever we screw up, they rate us bad, and when they rate us bad, even I go and apologize sometime.
Sure. So. And it's that interaction. I think that personal, really top down approach is certainly helpful at that scale. It makes a world of difference. I mean, that's an impactful discussion to have. All of a sudden, I'm a customer that's pissed off because maybe the silliest thing in the world, and the CEO of that company comes and says, "Hey, you know, we messed up, we fixed it, and I apologize," or what have you.
Shows that you care, right?
I mean, yeah, these guys really care. That's a big deal. I want to move this discussion a little bit, Tenko, if you don't mind. When I started to kind of learn about you guys and to become involved in having more discussions, it was already into that WordPress push, okay? I want to talk a bit about that. How did this progress into your focus around WordPress, as maybe a guy like me has seen it over the last 2 years? So I've seen you guys become more prevalent in the space and really doing awesome stuff, helping people host and manage and build WordPress sites, keeping them secure even, right? Mm-hmm. What did that look like? Where did you guys start scaling that whole part of the business in terms of focus on WordPress?
So we've been always big fans of WordPress. For a big chunk of SiteGround's existence, so WordPress was there since the beginning. And for the big chunk of SiteGround's existence, WordPress has been big for us. And for 5 or 6 years, we did a lot of stuff internally for WordPress in terms of, we did tutorials. We have a very extensive tutorial base. We did in-house themes. Nobody was doing that at the time. Like, no other web host was doing that at the time. And at some point, we figured out that we're getting so much from WordPress. In terms of clients that are using it and saying to their friends that they're happy, and more clients that they're using our services for WordPress, and we thought, what would be good to do to give back to WordPress, to give back to the community, to give back to people that develop it? And this is probably around the time that we figured that we have to go to those events that we didn't know about beforehand. We didn't know the WordCamps existed. So we thought, hey, we don't know how to go to events. We've never been to that. How would people react to that, especially in the States? Like, we're Europeans. Our English is strange, to say the least. And we didn't know how to do that. So we went to one. So this was WordCamp San Francisco that I met you on.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And we were amazed by how friendly this community is, how well accepted we were, even with not being locals and not being able to speak as fluently as you guys do. And ever since then, we've gone every single year. We've been going to more and more WordCamps. We even helped with organizing the WordCamp Europe, like Tina, you know, Tina from our team.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great staff. All the team members that I've met from your COO down have been just fabulous. Always open to discussion and very inviting. You know, that talks to WordPress specifically, and how you kind of answered that a couple years ago, and from an event perspective here in the States. But I want to understand, you know, as you're scaling a business in Europe and overseas from us, from the U.S., which are these crazy people over here. What type of challenges did you really face in growing that U.S. market, right? Because it's probably a very different demographic, a very different audience than what you're facing beyond the U.S. borders.
There are a couple of challenges, time difference being a big one. Like, for example, it is noon for you and it's 10 p.m. for me. So
yeah, fair enough.
In order to talk to a client, for example, I either need to stay late or get up very early. Mm-hmm. So that's challenging. And at the same time, pure infrastructure-wise, hosting big WordPress sites was a big challenge to crack up. Like, we needed literally a year to do a solution that was resilient and robust to be able to sustain high traffic WordPress sites. It wasn't easy to do. And WordPress security, you probably know about that, but that isn't too easy to do with hundreds of thousands of websites.
Certainly.
Yeah, and like a lot of them don't like now we do auto updates, everything is fine, but like back in the days nobody used to update.
Yeah, right.
They got hacked on daily basis and it was always our fault. Like people don't. Yeah. So
I have 73 instance 9.1 running on my shared environment. It's your fault for not making sure that they didn't hack me. Well, I'm going to end this my portion of the interview because I think we got a lot of other cool stuff to talk about, but I got one last thing. Now that you've made it through the pinnacle of WordPress, being on Dradcast, how do you feel about the future of SiteGround working with WordPress? That's what I want to know.
We're here to stay, and we love WordPress, and we will do everything within our powers to make WordPress better if we can. We'll try.
Oh man, this is all right. I can't believe how fast this damn show's going already. Bradford, what's going on with you, big guy?
Flying, man. No, this is great. I think, you know, it's interesting what you mentioned, Dre, about kind of meeting SiteGround for the first time in 2012. I think that's the first time I met them as well. And it also kind of coincides with the WordPress kind of sponsorships growing up a little bit around events. You know, 2 years ago, you didn't really see booths, sponsor booths. That was when they first kind of started. But now you do at almost every event, which is, from a company standpoint, I think it's great because it's a great way to get, you know, to meet people like Tanko and your team.
Okay.
And to really understand your product and your service beyond just picking up a pamphlet off a table. You know, I can physically talk.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
To you and your team is that, you know, you're good people and you're not just there to make a dollar, you know. So I think it's interesting to see how the space has matured and very much in line with SiteGround, how you guys have been growing. I did have a question around the cheaper side of shared hosting. Whenever I see shared hosting and hosts that support the very kind of inexpensive side, I always wonder, like, how is that profitable? How are they making money at $3 or $4 a month for a company? So, you know, I don't want to get in the nuts and bolts of how you make every single dollar, but is the high-level idea of those hosting plans that hoping that those sites will grow and upgrade into a more mature plan, or is that actually a profitable space to be in at those smaller plans?
So it is an interesting thing that you ask that. So to give you a little background, most hosts that sell at $1 a month rates, which is ridiculously low if you ask me, most yeah. hosts would give the affiliate that send them those $1 a month plan guy, it would pay them a ridiculous amount of money for getting him, like 2, 3, 4 years of revenue, maybe more. And they're not making any money of that.
Like, no, that doesn't sound sustainable.
They're hoping to sell to the next big player and exit the business, and this is when they might make money on. So we tried the model when providing like cheap, very cheap hosting. And what we found out was really, really interesting. We found out that not only those people are less likely to renew, like if normally we get like 85% renewal rate, with those we were getting like 45%. And they're creating more support work, they're more demanding, and they know less about WordPress and web hosting and basically everything else. So it didn't make any sense for us to be that company providing the very cheap service below the level that it actually costs us, or around the level that it actually costs us, without making any profits and without doing any long-term commitment with the client. So there are a lot of hosts that do that, but I don't think that's healthy. I think it's better to charge a reasonable price, something that's so it's normal for us to make money as a web host. As much as it's normal for the dentist to make money by doing teeth. So basically, I think people should know that hosting has to be paid in order to be good, and cheap doesn't always mean it's good.
And cheap doesn't always mean secure, so people listen in, pay what it's worth. The value is there in the long term. Otherwise,
yeah, we pay for it, right?
Well, yeah, you run into performance problems, security issues, all this crap for $3 a month, man. It's going to cost you tenfold as much down the road when you have an issue. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, but it's funny that people are ready to pay like $300 to get their site cleaned when it's infected.
They are.
but they're not ready to pay like $100 a year for like web hosting that is secure.
Well, right, it's that upfront. I'll take the risk that I won't get infected, yeah. You know, and I'll cross that bridge when I get there. So it's a very reactive approach, and that certainly has been the problem in the security.
But that's been slowly changing, like throughout the years, especially the last few years. People have been more and more knowledgeable about security and more willing to pay for goodies like web application firewalls and custom rules to protect your WordPress site and everything else.
And I'm not going to float my boat, but, you know, I think I was a big part of that. I'm just throwing that out.
Big part of it, yeah.
No, teasing. But I think you're right. I think that the folks that are online are starting to understand that inherent risk of being online. It's not as simple as just throwing a website up there and all of a sudden I've got a billion people coming to it. I don't have to do else with it. I need to manage that. I need to make sure that I'm taking care of the folks that are going to be there and visiting the site. They're going to be ultimately attributing to my bottom line, that are making me money or my company money. We need to make sure that we're taking care of them along the way. So they're probably more willing to bear that cost up front now compared to what it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. And I think that's been an awareness, a security, like security and awareness and play, an administrative and maintenance play. People better understanding what they need to do to manage it cradle to grave now compared to what it was a few years ago.
That is absolutely right. Like, and more people have suffered from that now, so they have experience.
Yeah, right. Even if they haven't, hey, my 10 buddies got nailed by this virus or what have you, and they've lost XYZ amount of dollars. Well, shit, I don't want that to happen to me. Let me put some controls in place now so I don't run into that. My audience, my visitors don't run into problems.
We're basically just entering into the proactive approach about security. So people start looking for it. People start asking about it. People care now. As opposed to 5 years ago, all we heard was, can I get a discount? Your price is too big compared to XYZ.
That shows the maturity of the internet and the space of people that have websites, which is pretty much everybody and anybody you can think of, right? Awareness, yeah. Training was always a concern there. And that was why you saw a lot of people going, hey, it's your fault as my host that I got nailed. Well, it's because they didn't know any better. They're going, well, shit, you're hosting it. Your environment is insecure. Your environment enabled hackers to come in and hack me. Well, that wasn't the case. It was their fault, independent of what the host was doing. They were installing the software. They were not doing the administrative things that they needed to do to take care of themselves. But now I think that's come full circle over the last few years where people are starting to understand it. Well, if I'm not
up there. It's an educational piece, right? I mean, every WordCamp has some kind of security presentation. Almost every one of those presentations, a big tagline is you get what you pay for. If you're paying $1 a month and your site gets hacked, guess what? You know, like, shocker. You know, it's crazy. So over the years, we've seen a lot more knowledge versus 2, 3 years ago when people really weren't talking about, you know, website security.
It's really on every single WordCamp now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really should be. I mean, it's that important. That's one of those presentations. You know, WordCamps like to have different presentations and mix it up and try to be unique, but there are certain topics that need to be at every WordCamp, and that is one of them. Security needs to be at every WordCamp.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. That's great. Another item around SiteGround that I'm a really big fan of is not only do you have a strong focus on customers and support, but you also have a strong focus on the developers. So you're, you know, out of the box, you're providing tools for devs. I'm a dev, so this stuff is close to my heart. You're given things like easy stage site creation, Git repo creation baked right into the host. The WP CLI is enabled from the start. Like, you're giving these really great tools for developers like me. Like, obviously, I want the host to be fast and secure and machine and all that stuff, but I also want the tools to be able to do my job and for my team to be able to do their job better. So it's really nice for it to see the host also not only focus on the end user, but also focus on, you know, their developers or the designers, whoever's actually working on the site, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, this was exactly what our idea was. We were sitting here and trying to brainstorm what could we do to make the life of our clients easier. And we're doing those stuff for designers and developers because basically designers and developers is who our clients are. And we've been getting those demands for, hey, can you clone this website, WordPress website for me in a subdirectory? Mm. Or hey, can you help me set up a Git repo? And we were, because as I told you earlier, whenever we get a request, we think about it and we think, what can we do to to improve? How can we make those people happy without asking us, hey, can you give us that?
Yeah.
And that came as a normal end to all of those. And we're actually doing some pretty cool new stuff on the same regard that we will be hopefully releasing within the next 6 months.
But now you're just teasing us. I mean, you're not going to give us any little hint of what's coming?
A drag cast first. Let's do this.
We're thinking about giving developers the ability to create like free WordPress sites and to develop on our platform for free, and to be able to push those free sites to like customer accounts. So basically, you get a free website, you develop it, and then whenever you push it to a customer, then that is when you start paying.
That's awesome. That sounds like a really great feature. I mean, I think you're right. You go towards the devs and the designers. You go to the people building the site, and they're going to bring their clients, right, their client base.
Yes, we don't want to be burdened while you build your website. We want to help with that.
Love it. I love it. It's a drag cast first, folks. You heard it here. And where will details on this new program be? Where will people be able to find this at some point? Will it be on the site somewhere?
Hopefully. Soon enough.
You just got to wait.
I was going to sign up for 10 different accounts, man. Don't worry, I'll filter through different IPs across the world. You won't even know.
No problem. We can handle that.
Oh, man. I love it, man. This has been a great discussion. I think, Brad, it's time for us to move on to this week's Pressing Topics.
Pressing Topics of the Week.
Contributions, WordPress, 5 for the future. I got 5 on it. Brad, you got 5 on it. I don't know what's going on here, but it was a good post by Matt Mullenweg he put out here after a good trip to WordCamp Europe he enjoyed here this last week. He's talking about companies and people that they're dedicating their time or all of their business or most of their business, some of their business, to revolve around WordPress. He's saying that we should be thinking about dedicating at least 5% of folks in organizations to contributing in some way or another back to WordPress, whether that's core development, documentation, security, what have you, support forms, theme reviews. I think it's good to be donating time, and not just for the sake of saying, all right, I should be donating time, but because you care about what you're doing. You care about open source. You care about what WordPress is. I think that there's a lot of value to doing that. I think there's a lot of value to having your organization a part of that if you are indeed doing WordPress stuff to make your money. And I'm not quite sure what that number or that percentage should be. The 5% came out. There's been a couple follow-up posts around what maybe that is. Even Automattic, I think if you do the raw numbers, with 270-plus people being part of that organization, they're contributing about 14 people, I think, full-time. That isn't exactly adding up, but certainly they are contributing full-time people to that. What do you guys think about how businesses and folks should be contributing back to what's really essentially making their business work?
I think it's really important, and I don't know if like the 5% is exactly what it has to be, but I think there has to be involvement. Like the team, if you work, for example, if our company works with WordPress so much, and we have to be involved in the community, we have to be involved in the core development, we have to be involved in everything. And I think making this easier for companies to penetrate in, to helping WordPress, would essentially drive more and more companies to try to help.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we all need to be better about being involved more with the community contribution perspective. Like certainly I need to do a better job, and not because of any other reason beyond I enjoy being part of this community. I enjoy WordPress. I enjoy being a part of all of it. I need to do a better job of really immersing myself in from a contribution perspective, whether that's more on the documentation side or even maybe picking up another WordCamp. I'm just throwing out ideas, folks. Don't get too crazy, although that may happen. I mean, it's a way to educate folks, and this is part of why we do Dragcast. We said it from the beginning that we never wanted this to be a for-profit thing. The idea behind and our motivation behind this is to talk about WordPress, talk about it with thought leaders and certainly people smarter than us every week, so that people in the community can get a good gauge as to what, you know, some of those big personas are doing for WordPress and how WordPress is growing. So I think collectively companies need to do a better job. Companies that are certainly making a big dollar amount and revenue from WordPress, they need to do a better job of contributing. I'm like you, Tenko. Yeah. I don't know if that 5% is the right thing.
I don't have a number on top of my head, but anytime we can, we dedicate it all the resources we can. And funny thing is, 3 years ago, we wanted to help contribute to WordPress, and we didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, we were eager to give development power to start doing like core patches and stuff, but we didn't know how to do it. And then we started going to WordCamp, started going to all those contributors days, and we learned that like everybody is so willing to share, everybody is so willing to help you contribute, that it's actually easy to do it if you really wanted to. So slowly we started doing all those. Like we do support on the WordPress forums. We have a guy that's doing core contributor contributions, and now we're doing so many things that I can say with a hand on my heart that we're contributing. But I don't think what we're doing is still enough. Like, we need to do more. So that's what I'm aiming.
I think the challenge of tracking, it's very hard to track like contributions, right? Like, what is a contribution? Really, anything that's helping the community and the project is a contribution, right? What we're doing, the three of us right now are contributing to WordPress just by talking about it publicly. I consider this a contribution.
That is right? True.
So yeah. I think it's very hard to gauge. Like, if you asked me if somebody said, how much of your time do you dedicate to WordPress, I would have a very hard time answering that question, because I do a lot around WordPress with meetups and WordCamps and the show and writing books and, you know, running a company. Like, but how do I quantify all that? I don't even know.
Well, I think,
like,
you're
it's
right.
What I enjoy doing.
I think you're right, because I think by helping, for example, when our support helps people learn about WordPress and solve their WordPress problems, that is
that's helping. Yeah, absolutely.
Those clients, if we don't help them, there is a big chance that they'll say, hey, this WordPress thing sucks and it's not for me. I'm just gonna abandon it and use some bad site builder tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's reality. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, at Web Dev Studios, we've always been very much of the open source mind. We want to give back. We have such great jobs and, you know, a great lifestyle. We don't have to commute to work. You know, we get to go and hang out with our friends at events, that we try to give back any way we can. And whether it be releasing plugins or writing tutorials on our blog, or we have a lot of code on GitHub. So just in the last even 6 months, we've been making a much larger push around getting code out there, because we have a lot of really cool code that we weren't sharing. So we've been releasing a lot of it on GitHub, just getting code out there to share it with people and to get people to use it. They can help if they want. So there's all these little things that companies can do that are direct, that they're doing anyways. It's just a matter of getting it out in the open for people to, you know, release some of that code that you've been using internally for the past year. Get the community to help you with it if you want. But there's just so many different things we can do. It's not all about working on WordPress core, which Matt makes that very clear. And I think most of these follow-up posts that make that very clear. But I think that gets lost in the conversation sometimes, that you have to be doing it directly in WordPress core, directly on WordPress.org for that to be considered.
I think those things changed, right? I think that was certainly the case 4 or 5 years ago, where it's like, oh, you're not contributing patches, you're not really a contributor. I think that was maybe unspoken, but certainly the vibe. Me, as a guy that wasn't developing 100 patches, because that's just not what my expertise was, but I was certainly involved in other areas, certainly felt that. I think that's changed. I think overall, though, the intent of Matt's post is, we really need to think about helping this grow more. We need to think about becoming a really strong contribution-driven culture in open source, in WordPress. And if it increases from wherever the percentage is now, closer to 5, I think it's accomplished something really great here. That's the emphasis. I'd like to highlight that there were some follow-on posts that I really enjoyed reading. I thought were very thoughtful. Post status, Krogs wrote something pretty cool about the contribution culture. And go check out Perez Box. Tony Perez wrote a really thoughtful article on it as well. But it really talks to that whole emphasis, right? We are an open source community. We are community driven by volunteer work, whether that contribution is documentation, whether it's an event or even speaking about the platform or contributing directly to the code. We need to strengthen those numbers, getting more people involved, getting our businesses to really be impactful in that contribution for the very platform that's helping us build our business in the first place. So very good stuff.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page here, and I think a lot of these posts are on the same page. Contribute however you can. Contribute however you feel comfortable. At the end of the day, anything you're doing that can help spread the WordPress word and get other people using WordPress and show what a cool platform is helping the project.
I love it. Another project that maybe didn't take the same growth pattern that WordPress has, it certainly wasn't of scale. It was used in a lot of different commercial themes and plugins in WordPress was Tim Thumb. Tim Thumb was a photo manipulation, image resizing script that was used and was very prominent in the beginning of this decade, 2010, 2011, where it ran into a pretty serious vulnerability that infected thousands and hundreds of thousands of websites, because what it was allowing was PHP to be uploaded through the script and arbitrarily executed, and next thing you know, you're serving Viva Viagra ads, right? Really bad stuff. Over that time, Ben Gilbanks and a couple other folks helped patch that and fix it and maintain it. And what the latest news came out here this week was that Ben, who was the guy running the thing, announced that the end of Tim Thumb has arrived. For good reason or wrong, it is what it is. But I tell you that had to have been a major, major sore for him over the last few years dealing with that and the impacts.
I'm sure it's a major sore for the hosting companies like, SiteGround. And I can only imagine. I mean, even in the article in his post that mentions that, he still feels bad. It's still, sites are still getting hacked, updated. I mean, are you still feeling effects of this in some of your websites at SiteGround?
Even just hearing the Tim Thumb name just brings bad memories to mind. But basically, we try to stay on top of it, and whenever that like a vulnerability like that is discovered, we try to patch it on a server level so that no more websites get exploited. Unfortunately, with the Tim Thumb, we got like something like 500 hacked before we understood what was going on. And we had a big, massive cleanup that came afterwards, talking to people, explaining that this hack didn't happen through our servers, but through a plugin that they had on their website. And it was a messy thing.
And to step back on the history a little bit, I think I misspoke a bit. I want to say that the vulnerability was discovered, I don't know about discovered, but certainly reported in August of 2011 by Mark Mauder. Ben Gilbanks, who's been actively developing the script, took over the project, was not the originator, in July of 2009. So there's that, and the end of Tim Thumb. There are certainly suitable replacements for that, and ways to do pretty much all of what you need to do there in terms of WordPress development, right through WordPress standards and all of the awesome hooks and functions found within our beloved platform. Man, so one area I wanted to talk about, and it's a cool, interesting platform. It was a plugin, and now it's taking the road of maybe or the direction. A little different. Stream, which is a plugin that allows you to audit it. It kind of logs everything that's going on with your site. It's pretty cool, from logins to changes in posts, what have you. It's changing and moving more into a service versus a plugin. It's taking the direction of a Jetpack, if you will. So maybe, but a little bit deeper. There's a paywall to get it all integrated and working correctly and stuff. But I see this maybe as the course of action for many plugins out there, maybe taking that model and becoming more of a service, which I think is ultimately something that can expand their user base beyond just plugin use. What do you guys think about this move by Stream?
I think it's cool. I mean, it kind of has, I guess the idea a lot, and maybe a lot of plugin developers aren't thinking this, if you have a good idea and a good plugin and it starts to take off, there's definitely going to be some models like this where you can kind of convert that more into a service, and ideally that might actually help, keeping that plugin or that service, that whatever that functionality is, funded. so that it can keep growing and bringing in new enhancements and new features. I mean, this is one we've talked about on the show before, and it seems like a lot of people really like this, so I think they saw there's a big opportunity here. So I think it's pretty cool, and it's going to be neat to kind of follow this and see how well it does. And I have a feeling a lot of plugin developers are going to keep close eyes on this and start, you know, really get the juices flowing. Maybe this is something they want to try.
And if you're interested in doing that and you want to talk about monthly recurring and that type of stuff on a service model, you can find me at DreMeta. No, funny enough, I think that Stream, we mentioned it, I mentioned it in one of our shows as a bar trick, and I think that that's why they pivoted and why they're going to make billions. Congratulations, Stream. I hope you the best. I think at this point, speaking of bar tricks, it's about that time.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Dread. Oh, Dread. Man. I went ahead and took one that came up in one of our company chats earlier because that's how I roll. I've used this in the past, and it's a really cool plugin that allows you to have multiple authors on a single blog post. Allows you to pick and choose who you want in there and then display it publicly to show everybody who was involved with creating the post. It's a really good way if you're doing multiple author editorials or content creation to give a little bit of love to everybody that was involved. The name of it is Co-Authors Plus. It's in the repo, and it's just really cool. So go check it out when you get an opportunity. Co-Authors Plus. That is my bar trick for the week.
Not bad at all. Tenko, you got a trick for us?
I haven't installed any new plugins this week, but I was playing around with Jetpack today because I talked to a lot of folks on WordCamp Europe about Jetpack, and I was really amazed how Jetpack is doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't played with that in a lot of long time. And today I tried some of the features, and it really amazed me how good it worked. Like, the automatic guys did a fantastic job of making it better.
I've seen it continue to grow and get better. I was a bit skeptical at first.
But I think they've grown it into something that's actually really meaningful about WordPress.
Yeah. Like the UI, the recent UI changes where it's much more obvious what's running and what's not. Before it was very confusing, like what was running. Now it's as simple as like the plugin page. You can just tell what services are on and off.
I think it used to create certain load on the server, and now it's not doing that anymore. Like it's running smoothly. The interface is nice, as you said, slick, and you can see what's going on and what's not. And I really liked it.
Very cool. Definitely check out. If you're one of the few that haven't seen Jetpack, go check it out because that's a great plugin, and it's free. So my speaking of giving back in the same vein, I want to highlight the blog at webdevstudios.com. So if you go to webdevstudios.com/blog, we have a really great blog. And one of the things we've been doing with our team members is we tasked up each person in the company is going to write a blog post once a week. And we've been doing this for a few months now, I would say. And the posts that our team members are writing, they pick the topic. It's obviously, you know, something related to what we do, but something they're passionate about. And it's really been neat to see some of the posts come out. And they're very helpful tutorials and explanations of various things within WordPress. So some of the more recent ones, you know, speaking of Jetpack, how to display your popular posts using Jetpack. So it would actually tap into your Jetpack stats and show your most popular tutorial by Michael Beckwith. We have a whole article on why grids matter, written by Simon. We have a whole article on how to QA WordPress websites like a pro from Corey. We have better responsive typographies from Zach and integrating font awesome icons and BB Press. Just some really cool articles. And it's been fun for the team to write them, and it's been fun for me to kind of see the kind of content the team is putting out there and talking about some of the stuff they've done recently. So check it out on our blog, and you know, if you have a company, this might be an idea you can do, or even if you're a freelancer, start writing tutorials, write about some of the stuff you're doing. Maybe you have a little cool code snippet. Get it out there for the world. You're going to help somebody, and that's the whole open source mentality. That's what we're here for, right? So share
that
content.
That was your quick way to plug how awesome everybody over at webdevstudios.com, including the folks on A-team and Scream Team. I'm throwing that out there. Now, someone else that's technically awesome, Saeed Balki. It's his birthday today, so if you get a chance, head on to Twitter and go say happy birthday, Saeed. You're
is he
cool
like,
dude.
He's is he legal drinking 16, age now?
So yeah, he's 21. 16 years old, and yeah, it's great. No, Saeed is the founder of WP Beginner and about another 20 successful companies. Go say hi to the guy. He's brilliant. You'll probably see him at an upcoming work camp. Say happy birthday to the guy. He's awesome. Talking about upcoming events, Prestige Conference this weekend, in fact, the 3rd through the 5th, there's going to be a live stream available. Lisa Sabin Wilson will be over there. So go say hello, the author of WordPress for Dummies. Good times. WordCamp San Francisco, obviously coming up at the end of the month, along with the Summit and the WooCommerce Conference. It's going to be some good stuff. Pressnomics 3, January 22nd through the 24th. There's a whole lot of other stuff going on. I think that you're going to be heading up to Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, sure. There, Brad.
I will be in Baltimore. I'm speaking on a panel, and I'll just be generally hanging out. It's always a fun event. It's the first one I ever spoke at, you know, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. So it's always has kind of a special place in my heart at WordCamp Baltimore.
I'll be at a few events here coming up as well. Vegas being one of them. I can't miss it. John Hawkins and company over there. I heart you guys. Happy birthday to 9 Seeds. They just went over 5 years. Congratulations to you guys. So that's all the events that we've got going on. Anything you've got coming up that you're going to be attending, Tenko?
Unfortunately, not. Because my wife is getting a little bit angry with me about going to all those events. I've probably been to more than 10 this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm unfortunately skipping San Francisco.
Well, hey, you know, when the boss speaks, we listen. That's the way that it goes.
Yeah, yeah, and we agree.
Well, I will tell you this. I love you. I'm so glad you came on board. We got to do this again. Where would be the best place to direct folks if they want to speak to Tenko? Twitter, Facebook, where would be a good spot?
Twitter, Facebook, my email, which is tenko@siteground. Basically anywhere. I'm everywhere to be found.
God, I love it. I appreciate it. It's been a hell of an episode, 61 in the books. Bradford, what's going on, baby? Where can we find you?
You can find me Twitter, WilliamsBA.
And @DreMeta for me. In fact, if you want to send us some T-shirts, some beer steins, anything that's awesome with your brand, we'll probably put it on the air because that's how we roll. Go ahead and rock it and hit us up and we'll put it on there. Where in the world is WordPress? The answer is everywhere. Don't ever think the awesome that is open source and then the community behind WordPress is isolated to just the U.S. In fact, every day, the growth around the world continues to expand. Did you know that WordCamp Europe this past weekend had almost or over 900 attendees? That rivals the biggest camps in the U.S., folks. The passion for WordPress is on fire across the pond, and we need to do a better job in the U.S. to become more involved and better integrated with the community beyond our borders. If we don't, we're selling this global community very short, and that's certainly not awesome. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 61 with no other than Tenko Nikolov. We're out, baby. Booyah!
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Dread.